Welcome to another episode of Shamrock Stories, a podcast for the New Haven School District in New Haven, Missouri. I'm Dr. Hainer, Superintendent of Schools.
I'm Mrs. Otten, Elementary Principal.
I'm Chrissy Zumsteg, Food Service Director.
And I'm Mr. Park, Principal at the Middle School and High School.
In this episode, we're going to highlight the school board meeting from October 8th, 2025. During this meeting, we had a consent agenda item of approving the MSIP food service report. We thought this item would be a great gateway to bring Mrs. Zumsteg on the podcast to talk about the New Haven School District food service program. Unlike many schools in our area who contract out their food service, in New Haven School District, we have always done our food service program in-house, and so we've invited Mrs. Zumsteg to go through some of the details. So, Mrs. Zumsteg, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, and if you have anything you want to share with our folks, please do so.
Well, this week kicks off National School Lunch Week, and it's celebrated the week of October 13th through the 17th. Nearly 30 million children and adolescents participate in federal school meal programs, including breakfast and lunch. Dairy products, including milk and cheese and yogurt, play a central role in school meals. By providing 13 essential nutrients, students need for health and growth and development. For the 25-26 school year, our district has teamed up with the St. Louis Dairy Council as they provided us a grant to our district for the start of the Serving Up Smoothies. It's another great option for students to try new flavors and get the nutrients that they need for a filling start to their day. We offer smoothies at breakfast and lunch as an option for the middle and high school, and on Fridays for breakfast at the elementary school. Last year, we were allowed to be part of the Mo Beef program. Steve Struberg, a local farmer off of Highway E, just outside of New Haven, has donated a whole beef to the New Haven School District for the 24-25 school year and the 25-26 school year. This allows us to have Williams Brothers Meat Market from Washington, Missouri, who is USDA certified, process our beef that we're allowed to then serve to our students. There's nothing better than to be able to serve our fresh beef product to our students. We mainly use that as ground beef because it goes the farthest with serving, but we also get fresh hamburger patties made as well. The final program that I'm working on currently is the Local Food for Schools program. This program would allow me to work with local farmers at different farmers markets to get fresh fruit and vegetables when they're in season for our district. It's really important for me to introduce a lot of these fresh fruits and vegetables to our students, as many of them have not even had access to these items at home, or maybe have never even been introduced to some of those. Since starting with the district, we have been getting fresh fruits and vegetables through federal grant money, which we still get a little bit of, but that's running low. And that's why they started the Local Food for School program. We receive those items that we're getting currently through our Kansas City distributor, and they deliver once a week on Tuesdays. That's given us the option to be able to do grab-and-go salads for our middle school and high school students, as well as our elementary teachers. It allows us to do more fresh fruit on our bars with our fresh vegetables as well.
For the past year or so, the kitchen staff has been cooking for our entire district whenever we do in services or professional developments, and it has been a highlight, I know, of my staff to be able to have lunch provided. Ms. Zumsteg, tell me about our lunch on Friday. It wasn't for kids, it was for staff.
Well, we get to be a little more creative with those menus when we create those menus for our staff because we're not restricted with the calories or the fat or the sugar content. So on those meals, we get to offer a little bit more special treats, like our old school peanut butter bars from when we were in school 30 years ago or more.
Right. We had quite an assortment on Friday.
We did.
Various soups and pretty fancy sandwiches and salads. And I know the entire staff really appreciates it. And we look forward to those in-service days more now than ever.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're very grateful for the work that you guys do. And on those days, it's very evident that we have some really good cooks in that department. As a parent, I would like to know, why can't you cook like that all the time? You mentioned those peanut butter bars that you made those for the school board a couple of months ago. And a number of the school board members, they commented that when they were in school, they had that same exact recipe as part of their lunches, but that doesn't happen anymore. Why is that?
The calories are restricted, and every year now we have less sodium, less sugar. So a lot of those things have to have child nutrition labels on the boxes. Those come from companies that a lot of that stuff is prepackaged or preprocessed. It's not something that I enjoy. I am hopeful. A lot of school districts and the School Nutrition Association are on board with trying to get back to more scratch cooking. And that's hopeful with these farm-to-school grants that they're offering, that maybe we can start introducing those things back. We're lucky in our district that we have a lot of really great kitchen staff who have the desire to create good things for our students. I'm hopeful that we can continue to keep those staff members and that our program will continue to grow back to scratch cooking.
Sometimes we hear kids say that when they go from the sixth grade to the seventh grade, that the meals seem a little different one building to another. Many times when I look at the menus, sometimes they look different and sometimes they don't. Is there a reason why a kid might notice a difference as they move across town?
Yes. So across town here at the middle school and the high school, we have offer versus serve. That gives those older children a little bit more freedom, but they're also allowed to have more calories and they're allowed more portions sizes. At the elementary, those levels are a little tighter. The sugar, the sodium, and the calories especially.
So what I'm hearing is when you create a menu for our kids, the first and foremost is, are the kids going to like it? Are they going to eat it? Or is it going to end up in a trash can? Beyond that simple piece of whether they like it, there's a really complex math equation that goes into what can you fix and what can't you. And if you want to expand on that a little bit, you can. But I know you're looking at a number of different factors, not only within one piece of the menu, but that menu as a whole for that day.
Yeah, so you have to serve 8 ounces of fluid milk. Has to be offered. They don't have to take those things. You have to have your whole grain components. You have to have so many different vegetables. You have to have a red orange vegetable. You have to offer those beans weekly. Those dark leafy greens have to be offered. So a lot of different components go into those meals.
That's why kids see carrots on their plate a lot.
And broccoli.
I don't just celebrate school lunch this week. I celebrate it every day. You know that. I love it. But do you have I know what I like to eat that comes from your guys' kitchen. Not real picky, but I have my favorites. What is your favorite thing to make when you guys are in there working?
I just enjoy cooking in general. So I like to try new things with our students. Sometimes I'm disappointed in the results because I think, oh man, I wish they would have tried that a little bit more. I really like to do the Philly cheese. I really like the flatbreads. Those are very popular. School pizza is always one of my favorites, so that's a standard.
I'm guessing school pizza isn't the same as when we were kids, though, either.
It's not. The rectangle pizza definitely is not the same as what it was when we were in school. And at our middle school and high school level, we do a pizza by the slice because it looks more like gas station pizza, so they're more apt to eat it. Well, everybody eats with you eat with your eyes first.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If it doesn't look good, you're not going to eat those things.
I walk around every day and almost every day, probably. Hey, you need to try that. You should try that. You might like it. But if it doesn't look good, I don't think I want to.
Or if they've had a bad experience somewhere else with it, mm-hmm. We'll kind of shy them away also.
My final thing is every once in a while, you do go outside the guidelines and we do have those special meals for the kids. And specifically, I'm thinking of Thanksgiving meal, fancy lunch. Those days don't quite fall inside the guidelines. And how often can you do that?
It's not a habit I want to get into because you have to answer to those things. So the special times of the year are good. Occasionally we'll throw an extra thing on their tray, maybe at Halloween time or Easter. But outside of the every week, we just can't do that.
Well, thank you for spending some time with us today. And thank you and your staff for everything they do for our kids.
I am blessed to have such good employees.
Following the consent agenda portion, we jumped into positive comment, and I'll let Mrs. Otten start with her elementary school.
Right after Labor Day, we decided to open up our school a little bit earlier. So at 7 a.m., students have the opportunity to get into the building, work on maybe any homework that they had questions on the night before, maybe they left something in their desk the night before. Maybe they just have a test that they need to go over the topic or practice some math facts. So we have a couple of staff members on duty, and we welcome students from 7 to 7:30 to work on anything they need to. It's been very popular, and we've served nearly 100 students just in the month of September. Every Friday, our fifth grade gets to hear from Chief Niece. Our very own chief comes in and teaches about DARE, how to teach them about drug use to prevent it and how to respond in those situations. So that's a fun hour that they spend with him on Fridays. We hosted our first of four family reading nights recently. We had about 80 students and their families come in, and they camped out with a good book. They made edible crafts. They listened to camping themed stories and completed other themed activities. And as usual, each student left with a free book. We also recently held our Title I information night. Parents were informed about how we use our Title I funds. We also talked about the components of Title I and gave parents some literature on how to help their child read at home and how to engage more with them at home. The New Haven Fire Department came and assisted with our second fire drill of the season. At that time, they also awarded our poster winners and let the students look at their fire trucks and climb around and ask them questions. We recently had the pleasure of hosting author and illustrator Kenneth Craigle. He visited our K-6 students and talked about some of the books he has written and his newest book coming out called Something Good. This was made possible through the Community Literacy Project and Neighborhood Reads.
At the high school, middle school level, a couple things. The marching band got a new trailer this summer, and we put Mr. Leakey and his woodchucks and his woodworking class to the task of framing it out, and they recently finished that. Mr. Leakey shared with me early on that the trailer was not square on the inside, so it took a little extra work and a little extra figuring, but he put his classes to work, and they did a really nice job framing that out with different sections and compartments for the marching band's instruments and uniforms. And he's actually, over the years, had his classes do several different projects for either the school or maybe events that are happening around town. So those woodchucks have been a nice little, I guess, service for us, or a nice little tool in our toolbox as far as getting some projects done. And then we had the middle school student council elections at the end of last month. I'm not sure how many places still do the old school posters in the hallways, but we had a lot of students really put a lot of effort into their posters. And then after those posters, they post them around, and then eventually they get to where they have to get up in front of their peers and give a speech on why they're the best candidate for whatever position they're running for.
Our next school board meeting is not until November 12th. So do either of you have some activities that are going to be happening in the next month that you would like to share?
Yeah, October is proving to be a very busy month. I know for sure, not only in the district, but over at the elementary building. Safety is a high priority. It's our main priority with our students, and we will be celebrating Bus Safety Week later this month by reviewing with students what to do in an emergency on the bus, how they should behave on the bus. And our director of transportation has set aside a morning, and all of my classes will be reviewing that with her. We're also going to be celebrating Red Ribbon Week coming up, teaching kids to say no to drugs, and Miss Williman puts on a great week with various spirit days and other activities. Closer to the end of the month, our PTO is sponsoring a free event, Trunk or Treat, and it's going to have not only a bounce house, monkey bus, all the activities associated with a trunk or treat for our students and their families. Speaking of trick-or-treating, our youngest kids, pre-K to second grade, will be hosted by our high school students, and we'll get the opportunity to go trick-or-treating at the high school on Halloween. During October, we will also be looking at electrical safety. We welcome the Three Rivers Electrical Group come in and do a nice job talking to our older kids about safety and electricity. And then not in October, but the beginning of November, we will be holding our parent-teacher conferences. Our families should, if they have not already heard from their child's teacher, but very soon, to set up a time to come in and sit down and make that connection once again with the teacher, go over things with the student, and just talk about their progress so far.
Yeah, kind of to go off what Miss Otten said, a couple of those things. We heard Trunk or Treat at the end of the month. Our National Junior Honor Society will be over there helping with that. National Junior Honor Society is also hosting Red Ribbon Week in the middle school. They've got some planned theme days and different things to prevent drug use. But then we've got, with the fall sports season kind of coming to an end here, got district volleyball and district cross country coming up. Next week, the middle school student council, I think there's about 20-something kids going to a drug prevention summit in Washington. And then, like she said, the younger kids coming over here to Trick or Treat, our FTA will be helping host them and make sure they're getting where they're going and don't wander away. That's a fun day. I know for those young kids, they enjoy it, but I think our big kids like seeing those young kids over here in their costumes and having fun.
For this month's financial update, we mainly discussed the Ameren electric bus grant that we've been working on. We haven't got to the finish line yet, but things continue to look good for this grant. And if we are fortunate enough to be awarded this grant, we will receive up to 3 electric buses completely free to the school district. And I don't know that we can do any better in our budget than free. So we're very excited about that and thankful to Ameren Electric for their willingness to put the schools first in this grant and allowing us to apply for this award. Under old business, we discussed the long-range facility plan, and we have a number of projects that we're looking at that could be completed over the next 12 months. And so during the school year, it's going to be a very busy time trying to solicit bids for many of these projects, figuring out what we can afford and what we can't, and prioritizing our money. Much of the money for these projects will come from our recent bond issue. When we did that bond issue, it was mainly for HVAC and structural repairs around the district. And we always hope that we have some money left over, but you never know with these projects if they're going to come in on budget. Fortunately enough, we do have a little bit of money left from that bond issue. And so over the next 18 months, we need to get that money spent. And we hope to have the remaining proceeds actually spent this summer. But we have projects we're looking at in both campuses. I don't know if one of the principals wants to kind of throw out the project that they're highlighting and the one that they hope the most that it gets done in their campus.
Over here at the high school, I think that we've just got some old tiles and old actually tiles on the floor and the ceiling, but we redid a lot of our flooring this summer. I'd like to kind of see that continue throughout the school. I really like that epoxy flooring, and I don't know if that is 100% a possibility or not yet, but that would be a good thing. But we also need new paint on the backside of the gym, on the exterior, the shop building windows. We had the guy out here looking at those last week. Those need to be done. I'll be excited to see new windows there because that's been it's time, basically, and it'll be a nice upgrade down there.
Zotin, you have anything you're looking forward to at the elementary school?
I think any improvement is a great improvement. We are looking at some lighting outside that I'll be looking forward to, and I know the parents will as well. Also, we're doing some painting as well on the exterior of the building, hopefully, and then also just kind of revamping a little bit of our curb appeal out front with some grading and concrete and asphalt, just sprucing up the place, maintaining what we have.
So we will be bringing different options over the next couple of months to the board, and we'll should know by around February what our final list will be. On that list is the painting. They approved a bid from Hubenthal Painting at our recent board meeting, and that's going to be the south side of the gym, which nobody really saw until we put a track back behind the gym, and now it's very evident that it needs to be painted. Hubenthal Painting will be doing the south side of the gym. They'll be painting the entire exterior of the shop building. And over at the elementary school, the exterior of the gymnasium over there also, which includes the large wall that faces the playground. And the lower portion of the front of the building on the west end will get a fresh coat of paint. And we just have a few places that are starting to wear a little bit thin, and we want to take care of our buildings and have everything looking good to where when somebody comes to town, our citizens can be proud of the shape that their schools are in. We had two items under new business, and both of them are kind of tied together. Our tech department submitted their technology plan, their ideas of where they're going to take technology in our district over the next few years. I was very impressed with their forethought on what they want to accomplish. They're very talented individuals, and I'm excited about what their plans are. Many of them you're not going to see. It's going to be running new wires, things that take place up in the ceilings that nobody knows about, but it's very important to the infrastructure of what happens in our schools. And one of the things on that plan was a security camera upgrade. Our old security camera system and our new security system will be installed in-house, so we're able to save thousands of dollars by letting our individuals do this kind of upgrade. And we're very fortunate to have had in the past and currently have employees that are capable of doing such upgrades. If you look in the minutes, it details some of the bids we got on this project, and these two gentlemen are able to save our community many thousands of dollars by doing this in-house, and I'm excited about this upgrade. Our current cameras, while they are functional, I would say they are not optimal in any way as far as when we have to review footage. It takes a long time, so we're trying to streamline that process while also taking advantage of new technology that is clearer and just easier to follow.
And just something about Sam and Trent, they love what they do. I mean, you can really tell when they're talking about that tech stuff that they love every minute of that, and we're lucky to have those two.
The final piece that I'm going to point out from our minutes is that we reported last month that Leanne Bauer had resigned as one of our board members because she is moving out of town. We went through the process of accepting letters of interest about that position, and at this meeting, the board member selected Jenna Coulter as our new board member. This term that she was selected for will start in November and will conclude in March of 2026. So for her to stay on the board long time, she will have to register to be a new member in December for the April election. We will have three positions available on the April ballot for three-year terms, and then we will have this one position that Jenna was just named to for a two-year term. So there will be four positions available in this April ballot. Thank you for joining us again on this episode of Shamrock Stories, and we look forward to talking to you again next month.